And our Bible reading this evening is taken from the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 23, the 23rd chapter. And we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 13. Reading from Numbers chapter 23, beginning our reading at the verse 1, going down to the end of the verse number 13. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Numbers 23, verse 1. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go, peradventure the Lord will come to meet me. Whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Though the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations, who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the uttermost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from thence. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 13. And our prayer is that God would bless this reading of his only eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, the text of Scripture I want us to look at tonight and preach the message of the gospel from are the final words of verse 10 there of Numbers chapter 23, where it says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Now, whenever a motorist sees a red light flashing along the road, they know there's something wrong, and they heed the warning, and they drive with caution on their journey. Well, our text this evening is really, if you like, a red light warning to all who are on the journey of life. These words in our text were spoken by Balaam, the prophet of Midian of old. And prior to this, Balak, king of Midian, wanted Balaam to curse Israel. Now, God did not permit this, as Israel were God's own chosen people. And instead of cursing Israel, God makes Balaam to bless Israel. And following this blessing, Balaam then utters these words of our text in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. When he says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Now, such words really act as a solemn warning to all who are on the journey of life. This is because they warn of the certainty of death. You see, should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry, death is a reality that all mankind must face. Yes, every day across our world, people are dying, young and old, rich and poor, men and women, boys and girls alike. Yes, death is no respecter of persons. You think in particular at this time of the coronavirus pandemic across the world, and because of that, thousands of people from all different kinds of backgrounds and walks of life have been taken in death and have been swept out into eternity. Yes, we can say that the death is the great common denominator of all mankind. Yes, the place of death may differ. The way of death may differ. Indeed, the time of death may differ for people across the world. Yet nonetheless, death is something that is common to us all. Indeed, the Word of God says that we must and needs die. Yes, the Word of God declares it is appointed unto men once to die. Indeed, speaking about death, the wise man Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes says in regard to death and mankind that there is no discharge in that war. In other words, death is common to all. Indeed, it has been said of one of old that every man must be a conscript in the army of death. Now, there are many in our society, and they will try and dismiss death as some light thing. There are many, and they'll try to put it in the back of their mind. They'll try not to think about it, and they'll fill up their heart and mind and life with all sorts of things of time and sense. And then there are even some, and they would go so far as even to laugh at death and to make light of it and to make jokes about it. This was not the case with this man Balaam in our text this evening. He knew he had to face the reality of death. He knew that death for him was approaching. He knew that for him death was something that was inescapable. He knew that death was unavoidable. He understood that death was an event that he must face, he must deal with head on. Hence he utters these words, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." And as it was with Balaam of old, so it is with us all. Yes, we must say that death is a certainty that we all must face, that you and I must deal with, should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. It is because of that that I want us then to consider these words of warning uttered by Balaam many years ago. When he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." As we think then upon these solemn words, there are three things I want you to notice in connection with this man Balaam. You'll notice first of all here Balaam's desire. In our text he says, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." And here you'll see that Balaam wanted to die the death of the righteous. And there was a reason for this. He wanted to die the death of the righteous because such are those that go to heaven after this life, after this scene of time. You see, over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and in the verse 32, there it says, "But the righteous have hope in this death." And the righteous have hope in death because they are going to heaven, going to glory, to everlasting life. Who are the righteous? Well, the righteous are all those who are saved by God's grace. Those whose sins are forgiven by God Almighty. Those who have trusted in Christ for salvation. Those who are born again of God the Holy Ghost. Those whose sins are covered by the blood of Christ. Those who are covered with the robe of Christ's own perfect righteousness. See, the Bible makes it very clear that it is only by faith in Christ as Savior from sin that a person can be declared righteous in God's sight. You think tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, completely different from you and I and all the rest of mankind. He was without sin. He did no sin. He could do no sin. He was impeccable. He perfectly kept the law of God. And over in Hebrews chapter 7, and in the verse 26, there you have a wonderful description of the character and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there it says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, is separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. And Christ is indeed the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God. And as the sinless Son of God, what did He do? He came to this earth and He died an atoning death for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this great event many hundreds of years before it actually came to pass. In Isaiah chapter 53, that great chapter that is all about Christ, focuses so much upon His atoning death upon the cross. Then in verse 5 of that chapter, Isaiah says this about Christ. He says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. And there Isaiah tells how there is salvation through the crosswork of Christ, through His death upon the cross. And by His perfect obedience and by His death upon the cross, Christ, He purchased salvation from sin and hell. And He provided a perfect righteousness for all who will repent of their sin and all who will trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Over in Romans chapter 10 and the verse number 4, Paul there is speaking about Christ and the fruits of His death upon the cross, and he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. And by such are those who are saved from a lost eternity in hell. Such are those who are sure of heaven, because their sins are all forgiven by the blood of Christ, and they are accepted before the God of heaven through the righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23. It says there that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Psalm number 37, in the verse number 37 of that Psalm, the psalmist there speaks of the end of the righteous in heaven. And this is what the psalmist says. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright man. For the end of that man is peace, and that peace speaks of everlasting peace and glory and heaven itself. Indeed, this is why the hymn writer could say of Christ, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And they had the hope of heaven within their soul. They were looking forward to heaven because their faith, their trust was in Christ, in the blood of Christ. For the cleansing away of their sins and in the righteousness of Christ, for their acceptance with God. And so it is for all who are made righteous in Christ. They're saved from a lost eternity in hell. They're made sure of heaven. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 9. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, that's the blood of Christ, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There Paul speaks of being saved from the wrath to come, from a lost eternity in hell, having the hope of heaven through faith in the atoning work of Christ, through faith in the blood and the righteousness of Christ. And this is how Balaam wanted to die. He wanted to die as one who was righteous before God, as one who was sure of heaven. This is why he wanted to die the death of the righteous, that he might have hope in death and that he might be sure of glory, a place in God's heaven. Friend, as you listen in this evening, let me ask you the question. Tell me, is this the desire of your heart? Is it the desire of your heart and soul this evening that when you come today, you will die the death of the righteous? Let me say, to die the death of the righteous and be sure of heaven, you must personally repent of your sins before God, and personally you must trust in Christ and in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. You think of the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21. Here it says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. For He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There those words tell us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. You can only find reconciliation with God, your Maker, through Christ. It speaks of Christ there and says God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. In other words, the sinless, spotless Son of God, He bore upon Himself the wrath, the judgment of our sin that we deserved. He bore it upon Himself on the cross of Calvary when God poured out His wrath upon Him. He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And it is only through Him, the sinless Son of God, through His sacrifice upon the cross, that you and I can be made righteous before God and be declared righteous, declared to be in a righteous state before the Holy God of heaven. This is how it was with the Apostle Paul. Listen to his words of testimony. In Philippians chapter 3, in the verse 9, he's speaking there of Christ, and he says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And there Paul testifies how he was declared to be righteous before God, not because of any of his own self-righteousness, or because of anything he was or had done or would ever do. But because his faith was in Christ, he was trusting as a repentant sinner in the blood of Christ for the blotting out of his sins. He was trusting in the perfect righteousness of Christ, the sinless Son of God, for acceptance before God. Friend, if you are to die the death of the righteous, this is how it must be with you. You must turn away from your sin, from all trust in any religion or self of man. You must turn away from trust in your own self-righteousness, no matter who you are. As a repentant sinner, you must come by faith to Christ and trust Him alone for salvation. Yes, we see the desire of Balaam. But notice, secondly, from our text, not only the desire of Balaam, but notice Balaam's delay. You see, though Balaam had a desire to die the death of the righteous, he never became one of God's righteous ones. He never repented of his sins. He never sought the Lord for salvation. He never trusted Christ as his Savior. His desire to die the death of the righteous did not become a reality. It was only a desire. It was only an aspiration. And you know, there are many just like this man, Balaam. You think of the rich young ruler. The Bible speaks to you about him in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. And there we're told about a certain rich young ruler who spoke to Christ. He was in the immediate presence of Christ. He had face-to-face dealings with Christ. And he said in verse 16 of that chapter, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And now you can say there that he had a very commendable desire and aspiration to have eternal life. And he even goes to speak with Christ about the matter. He spoke to Christ about this all-important matter. He talked with the Lord, the Savior of sinners. But he never trusted the Lord for salvation. He never embraced the Lord by faith to be his own and personal Savior. After his conversation with Christ, verse 22 of that chapter sadly says about this rich young ruler, it says, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away from Christ. He turned his back upon the Lord. His desire for salvation was only a desire that never became a reality in his life. And there are many just like that, many like Balaam also. Now in the case of Balaam, we can say that he did not get saved. because he did not want to live a righteous life. Yes, he wanted to die the death of the righteous, but he did not want to live a righteous life. He was not prepared to repent of his sin. He was not prepared to give up his sin before God. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, you read there about Balaam. This is what it says. It says, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. In other words, he loved his sin. He was not prepared to repent of his sin and forsake his sin and give up his sin. Friend, as you listen in this evening, let me ask, is this how it is with you? As you listen in to God's Word in your own home this evening, you're still not saved? And is it because you're not willing to repent of your sin, you're not willing to forsake your sin and give up your sin? Yes, the truth is you think more of your sin than you do of Christ. You think more of your sin than you do of the salvation of your soul. Let me say this, to die the death of the righteous, you must repent of your sins. There's no sitting on the fence in this issue. In Acts chapter 17 and the verse 13, there you have a sweeping gospel statement, and this is what it says. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's no exemption here. If you are to die the death of the righteous, you must repent of your sins before God. Also, we can say this man, Balaam, he did not want to die the death of the righteous because he loved the applause of men. He loved the applause of the ungodly. You see, he was a man who was taken up with the world. He wanted the world more than Christ. He wanted the ways of the world and the applause of the world more than God's salvation. Over in the book of Jude, in the verse number 8, away at the end of the New Testament, that verse 8 of the book of Jude speaks of those who are filthy dreamers. It describes certain people there as filthy dreamers. In other words, such are those who live only for this world and the applause of this world and the ungodly ways of this world. Describing these filthy dreamers further, verse 11 of the book of Jude says this. It says, they ran, it says, greedily after the error of Balaam. And what does that tell us about Balaam? It proves to us that Balaam himself was a man taken up with the world, the evil ways and spirit of this world, and the very applause of this ungodly world. The truth of the matter is this, he was a man who valued the world and the applause and the friendship of the world more than he valued Christ, more than he valued the salvation of his soul. And this is but a picture of another character that you read about in the New Testament. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor at the trial of Christ. And the Bible shows us how he rejected Christ and he rejected God's way of salvation because of his love for the world and the friendship of the world and the friendship of the ungodly. And indeed, because of the very fear of man itself, fear of what others would say and think about him if he became a Christian and repented of his sin and trusted Christ for salvation. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And in the verse 22 and the verse 24, there you read of Pilate at the trial of Christ. And it says, Pilate saith unto them, that's the crowd, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. That was the whim, the desire of the crowd. Put Christ to death. And Pilate, he sided with the crowd. It says in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And in that statement, he was giving Christ up to be crucified. He was siding with the ungodly crowd that day with the applause of men because of the fear of man. He was siding with the world. He was rejecting Christ and rejecting God's salvation. For him. You know, it has been said that a man caught up in this world is not ready for the next. Dear friend, let me ask, as you listen in this evening, is that a picture of you? You're still not saved. You're still not a Christian. You're still not born again. It's because of your love for the world. Your love for the applause of men. Your love for the applause of the ungodly. Yes, because of the fear of man itself. Maybe there's been times in your life and you've thought about getting saved. But then you've also thought, what will so-and-so say? What will so-and-so think? What will my family think? What will my neighbors think? What will my work colleagues say if I tell them I've got saved and become a Christian? You're not saved tonight because of your love for the world and the applause of this world. Dear friend, I encourage you to heed the warning of God's word. It says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 36, it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" All the profit of this world can do nothing to save your soul. You may gain the world but lose your soul and never be saved and right with God. Again, the Bible says to you in Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man, it bringeth a snare." And that speaks of how people are snared because of the fear of others. They will not do what is right. Friend, do not let the fear of man keep you back from Christ and keep you back from getting saved and getting right with God. And then it says in the book of James, chapter 4, in the verse 4, it says, "Are the friendship of the world is enmity with God." In other words, at war with God, at odds with God. You cannot be the friend of this world and the friend of Christ. The friend of God is either one or the other. Yes, we see Balaam's desire. We see his delay. One final thought just this evening in connection with our text, and it is Balaam's destiny. Turn with me in your Bible over a few chapters to Numbers chapter 31. Just a few chapters over from our Bible reading to Numbers chapter 31. And to verses 7 and 8 of that chapter. And there it tells you about Balaam, this man Balaam, being killed in battle, fighting against the Israelites. It says in verses 7 and 8 there of Numbers chapter 31, it says of Israel, "And they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian." Then it says this, "Balaam also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." Notice those words, "Balaam also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." There you see how this man Balaam, he died a violent death. He died with the sword. He died indeed fighting against the very people he had wanted to be like in his own death. The day he died, the day he was slain with the sword, his soul was ushered out into a lost eternity in hell. And there he is to be punished for his sins forevermore. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Whenever this man Balaam died, he was separated from God for all eternity. He was cast into hell. He was never to be in God's heaven. Never again was there to be any opportunity for him to get right with God and enter into heaven. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" With all his desire to die the death of the righteous, this man Balaam was cut off in his sin. Indeed, his death is but the fulfillment of God's word. Over in the book of Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse 1 of that chapter, there it says, "He that been often reproved and harden of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Balaam died in his sin without the remedy of God's salvation, without any remedy of ever being able to go into God's heaven and enter the kingdom of God. Oh, heed the warning tonight from this man, Balaam. You know, over in the book of Micah, chapter 6, in the verse 5, there the prophet Micah says, remember Balaam. In other words, you and I are to take note of this man. He is a warning light to us in the Scriptures as you and I go along the journey of life. Remember Balaam, my friend. For if, like Balaam, you die in your sins, you too will perish in a lost sinner's hell. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Speaking of the unsaved, those who die in their sins, Revelation 20 verse 15 says, for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why it's important that you remember Balaam. That's why it's important that you consider these words of Balaam when he said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. If you die in your sin, and these words remind you of the certainty of death, the approach of death, cannot be escaped. If you die in your sin, your soul will be lost forever in hell, without hope, without God, forever shut out of heaven, forever shut apart from God and the people of God. No hope beyond the tomb for you if you die in your sin. Die unsaved. You die out of Christ. But dear friend, I must say to you this evening that this need not be so. If you will but rightly prepare for death and but rightly prepare for your meeting with God, and how do you make that preparation? Are you repenting of your sin before God and trusting Christ as your Savior? That's how it was with the publican. When he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, as a repentant sinner, he was calling upon the Lord to save him in mercy and in grace through the blood of Christ. You must do the same. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Praise God, tonight, this very evening, you can be saved by faith in Christ, by calling upon Christ, by trusting in Him for salvation. In Paul's first letter to the believers in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 10, Paul is writing there and he says this, he says, even Jesus which delivered us from the wrath to come. And there Paul speaks and he writes with confidence of being saved from the wrath to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. Likewise, through faith in Christ the Savior, you, whoever you are, can be saved from a lost eternity in hell. Yes, through faith in Christ the Savior, you can die the death of the righteous. You can be absolutely sure and certain of heaven in this scene of time. Listen to the words of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse number 11. He says, "Here, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son," or if you like, through His Son, through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sinners, who rose again victorious, through faith in Him, you can receive everlasting life. You can be sure of a mansion in glory and heaven itself. You would have said that whenever Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma, was leaving this world and leaving the scene of time, and he said these words, he said, I'm not tired of my work, neither am I tired of this world, yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy, bounding away from school. In other words, he was speaking of a great hope within his soul, that he was gladly looking forward to heaven, that he was ready for heaven, that he was ready to die For he was going to die the death of the righteous. He was ready to meet God. Because there was a time in his life's experience as a repentant sinner. He put his faith, he put his trust in Christ. Yes, through faith in Christ as Savior. He was going to depart this world and die the death of the righteous. Unsaved listener, whoever you are this evening in your home, whatever your background is, I urge you, I plead with you to come to Christ, to trust Him. And accept Him by faith as your own and personal Savior. He invites you to come to Him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me say, if you wait until death comes, and you die in your sin, then it will be forever too late for you to be saved. Therefore, while you have health and strength, while you're in the day of grace and the day of opportunity, when you've got the gift of all your faculties, come this night to Christ, trust Him, call upon Him. Praise God, the Lord will save you for time and for all of God's great eternity.